Five, episode 15. I'm your host, Kevin Lindsay, general manager of Buckley Newspapers, and I'm also the editor of the Jasper County News. I hope that you're having a great week and a good Thursday as we race into the weekend. I want to go ahead and dive right on into our front page this week. If you haven't picked up a Jasper County News, I hope that you do so. Come by and get your subscription rates as low as $30 per year. Let's go ahead and dive right on into our front page. The first thing that you'll see on top is Mr. Ricky Ruffin. He was honored by the Chamber of Commerce for more than 40 years of law practice in Jasper County. The Bay Springs Chamber of Commerce, they honored Mr. Ruffin with their Business Spotlight Series. Mr. Ruffin has served Jasper County citizens in so many different capacities. He's the board attorney for the Jasper County Board of Supervisors and things like that. But he was honored last Wednesday morning as the Chamber continues in that Business Spotlight Series where they highlight different businesses in the community and things like that. And we just shine a spotlight on those. Mr. Ricky Ruffin stated during the interview, he said, "You know, when you decide to become an attorney in a small town, you always make some sacrifices. And one of those sacrifices is the money that you can make. And it was not a decision about the money. It was a decision I made because of the people here. The people here in this county have been so gracious to me, and I appreciate that." And Mr. Ruffin is a great guy. I've come to know him really well through the Jasper County Board of Supervisors and things like that. And of course, he's still pretty active. He deals with agriculture and things like that. He's active with our 4-H community in Jasper County. And one of the things that I really enjoy talking to Mr. Ricky about is he really promotes the youth of the county with 4-H and farming and ag, because that's what he does in his spare time. He's a cattle rancher and things like that, and that's one of his passions. So he definitely tries to promote students in the county with 4-H and things like that. So he does a lot of things that a lot of people don't see outside of his law practice and the Jasper County Board of Supervisors attorney. But one of the cool things that he talked about, he said he's seen two complete board changes, and normally whenever you have a board change, your attorney changes, but he stayed there. He stayed there in that practice since the 80s, so really cool thing to talk to, and I'd love to get him on the podcast one day just to sit down and just talk about his life and things like that. So go check that article out. There's some really cool tidbits in there. Also on our front page is two arrests were made after several weeks of investigation and gathering information. The Jasper County Sheriff's Department, they appear to be wrapping up an investigation involving property stolen, including vehicles and other personal items. Two suspects were arrested, Mr. Jonathan Holifield, age 36. He was arrested on 3 counts of grand larceny, along with 1 count of burglary, and also Lindsay Cavanis. She's 26 years old. She was arrested with similar charges and accessory after the fact. So that has actually been being investigated since about February. It was going on along the time that the human trafficking incident that we had in Jasper County back in February began. Those two cases were being investigated roughly about the same time. This one has taken a bit longer because there was just vehicle stolen, and from what I'm understanding from different people and different sources, they weren't even being reported. They were just being stolen, and somebody else said, "Hey, this is going on, and this gentleman hasn't reported it to y'all." So it's been a crazy thing, but they're wrapping that up. They had already arrested a couple of more people earlier in the month, but I wasn't able to advertise that because the sheriff said, "Hey, look, we're still investigating it. We don't want it to get out there too much because I'm pretty sure people are watching." So better be impatient and not talk about that and just kind of let the Jasper County Sheriff's Department do what they've got to do. And it's paid off because they're getting that trafficking ring, a burglary ring off the street. So one thing that happened last week, kind of bizarre, and that's what I actually wrote in my lead, a bizarre one-vehicle accident left a homeowner with minor injuries after a vehicle collided with their mobile home. The driver of the vehicle sustained moderate injuries. You can see the photo on the front page, and you can also see the story on the Facebook page, but a car ran off the road and went underneath a mobile home that was sitting on blocks. And luckily, no one sustained life-threatening injuries. The driver sustained moderate injuries. That crash is still under investigation. But it was very bizarre, and the sheriff sent me the pictures of it, and I actually didn't get his text message. All I got was the pictures, and I got the text message like 10 minutes later, so I was like, what in the world is going on? But just a crazy, crazy deal there. The homeowner called in the accident around 11:45 last Monday and said that, hey, a car literally hit our home, and it actually moved the blocks on there that the trailer was on. So just a crazy, crazy thing. The driver, he has the same moderate but not life-threatening injury. So the last story on our front page was a 20-year-old male was arrested Wednesday after the Jasper County Sheriff's Department, assisted by the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics, executed a search warrant. Devin Dyers, age 20 years old, was arrested. He was charged with possession of a controlled substance while in possession of a firearm and possession with intent to distribute. Dyers' bond was set at $75,000 by Judge Marvin Jones. Over 8 ounces of marijuana were collected, including multiple firearms. You can see that press release on the front page of the Jasper County News. So as we transition out of news, we are going to head into a little bit different of a segment. We have our first guest on this week. He's pretty familiar to Buckley newspapers. I want to welcome James Pugh to the studio. James is the managing editor of the Smith County Reformer. He's an award-winning photojournalist, and James has been a Pine Belt sports mainstay for over a decade, and he's also served as managing editor of the Smith County Reformer for nearly 10 years. So welcome to the studio. Jasper County studio.
I like the setup. The first time I've got to see it.
I made it a Joe Rogan experience special. It's kind of weird. Like, we've done a podcast before and all that, but now we don't work together day to day, we still, talk every day and all that. What's it like in Smith County?
I love it, actually. Kind of coming into that was something new for me. I didn't know, because I'd spent, 10 to 12 years in Jones County covering sports, covering news, and kind of grown to love Jones County. Grew up in Stringer, but kind of felt like Jones County was my home. Got to know a lot of coaches and stuff, and then upon the news of knowing that I was moving to Smith County to cover government and sports and all that good stuff in Smith County, I didn't know how it would go down, but grown to love Smith County. Smith County is much like where I grew up in Jasper County. Grew up in Stringer, and just that small town feel. I just love it there. Love the people. Love the people that I work with over there, as far as your supervisors, your mayors, all that good stuff. Just a great place to be.
Yeah. One of the things, we both moved at the same time, out of Jones County. And I hate change. I'll be the first one to tell you. And over since around COVID, there's been a lot of change professionally. But one of the things that I've grown to love is, I love Jones County. I don't want anybody who listens to this from Jones County to think that I don't. But it's just different being in a small town. I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like if I go out to lunch or go out anywhere, I'm going to see somebody, whether it's a supervisor or an alderman or a kid from a team, and they're going to be like, hey, how you doing? I mean, it's literally like, and you got that in Jones County to a degree, but it seems like everywhere I go, I'm seeing somebody that wants to speak.
Yeah, it's if I had to kind of narrow it down to one word, it's relationships. It's a lot easier to have more intimate relationships, friendships with people in a small town, because there's a lot less people in there, and you kind of get to know everybody in a word. So yeah, I mean, it's good to be in small towns, and to see people on a daily basis that you know. Like I said, in Johns County, you see people every day, but it's different people because you got a, 67,000 people that live in Johns County, and then you have, you know, 12,000 to 15,000 in Smith and Jasper County, each. So you get to see people on a more daily basis and get to talk to them. It's a great thing.
Yeah, the one thing that I've discovered in Jasper County that I see is, especially dealing with sports, which is what we're going to be talking about, is there's just not enough of me to cover sports. Because if you're at Bay Springs, people in Stringer are going to wonder why you're not there. If you're at Stringer, people in Heidelberg are going to wonder why you're not there. Then you have Silva Bay Academy and whatnot. So it's, I think in that regard, it's tougher. But in the other regard, I think that they know that if you're not there, you're at the other school and you know, try to balance things out.
Right. And for me, that would be the similarity of when I covered stuff in Johns County to Smith County. You still have, you know, in Johns County, we had four schools, four public schools. Smith County, you have three. So, you know, a given season like softball and baseball season, you still have a whole lot of teams you've got to try to cover.
Yeah, six teams.
So it's kind of hard to get to be everywhere. You want to be everywhere.
Right.
You want every team to be covered as equally as possible. And I know both you and I try to do that as best as we can. There's just a lot of teams and kind of spread thin, trying to get to somewhere every week, on top of having to be at town hall meetings, supervisors meetings, stuff of that nature, school boards. So that would be the similarity. You still have a lot of teams trying to get to everybody that you can, and obviously you can't do that every week. But it's fun.
I think one of the funniest, and I use air quotes here, complaints that I got was 2 years ago when Bay Springs won the state championship, and they were just destroying everybody not named Raleigh, right? And I went about a 3 week period of not covering Bay Springs football because I knew that Bay Springs is more than likely, you kind of get the feel, right, of which teams are going to make it farther in the playoffs. And I knew Bay Springs is more than likely going to go in the playoffs and win the state championship. So I was trying to cover, you know, Silva Bay, Stringer, and Heidelberg. I went probably 3 or 4 weeks of not covering them. And I had this sweet lady, this elderly lady, call, and she said, "I just want to know why you're not covering Bay Springs." And I had to explain to her, because I'm going to be covering Bay Springs whenever they probably win the state championship. And they were beating people 50 to nothing and things like that. So, you know, there's that. And two, another thing that I've discovered, for instance, like during basketball season, I primarily covered probably Bay Springs and Heidelberg the most. But I find myself during baseball season probably covering Stringer a little bit more and probably Silva Bay. And then you have, what's interesting to me is with Silva Bay softball, they don't play in the fall, or the spring, they play in the fall. So you have that and volleyball going on, and you're able to kind of give Silva Bay a little bit more love whenever they're playing softball because they're it. So it's trying to divide my time and find that out, you know, and two, finding out maybe which sports these teams are maybe a little bit better at or have a better shot at. You try to give them that much more coverage. And, you know, one thing that I've found out recently is how good all of our teams in Jasper County are at track. And so that's something that I want to kind of cover more. Silva Bay just won the district championship in track. So, you know, I look to put them in the paper this week. But
speaking of sports, the one thing, this is kind of funny story, the one thing that I have to get used to in Smith County is there is no soccer.
Yes.
And you know me, I hated soccer to begin with when I started covering in Johns County, and it grew to be my second favorite sport to cover. And just loved covering soccer, even though I'm out there with like five layers of clothes on because it's 30-something degrees, but not having that in Smith County kind of stinks.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Maybe one day Smith County will get soccer.
Yeah. And, you know, Jasper County, they've got the little youth league soccer. And I've talked to people at Stringer and been like, you know, if y'all really dove into this, you know, they jumped in the gate, were really good at volleyball pretty quick. And I said, you know, maybe if Stringer or, you know, maybe a Bay Springs or a Silverback, you know, whoever jumped into soccer, they might be able to hang and contend in there pretty quick. Of course, you have to get by Sacred Heart and teams like that because soccer is what 1A, 2A, 3A are combined.
Right.
So you know, you've got to contend with that. But you never know. You never know what can come up.
I would say in about 10 years, I think. Maybe that's a realistic timeline, I think.
Yeah.
Our teams in Jasper and Smith may eventually go into soccer. I mean, I know volleyball was something mm-hmm. that kind of was new several years ago.
And right.
You had Stringer that had a volleyball, created a volleyball team, and then now it's all over the counties. And mm-hmm. I think soccer eventually may get to that point where you'll have that in every county and every school.
Yeah, that would be really fun. I do miss soccer because whenever soccer is really good, I look at a Wes Jones or a Laurel from a few years ago, the Laurel boys team. Whenever it's a really good game, it gets intense. I mean, you're
very intense.
You know, that clock is ticking, and then you don't know how much extra time you're going to get. You know, of course, whenever I started with Impact, I was in Hattiesburg. Sacred Heart was the mecca.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, just watching them play. I mean, we had kids go D1 college from Sacred Heart. One kid played on an amateur team for one of the MLS amateur teams. I mean, there was high-quality soccer there. So, yeah, that's the one difference with Jasper and Smith County. I find myself missing it a little bit, but you know me, I love basketball, so I'm wrapped up in basketball season. And, you know, I know there was some struggles there in Smith County.
Yeah.
With basketball season, but, man, it was just fun. And we had an emotional basketball season, of course, in Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's basketball city over here, and I love it. But, well, let's kind of transition over, and I want to set the stage. Last week during the podcast, I went on a rant because I said that I think that we need to do something about first-round baseball and softball playoffs. And it bled over into Twitter or X or whatever we want to call it now, Elon Musk playground. It kind of bled off into there, and I ran it a little bit on there. But I want to say I was right, and I complained to James so much this weekend about how bad the first round of playoffs in baseball and softball is. And I want to just go ahead and say, I'm not blaming the kids. I'm not blaming the coaches. Whatever we say, I think both of us agree.
Yeah.
We're not blaming the programs or anything like this. But I think you come into agreement with me that this was awful first round.
And I'll throw this caveat out there. It's kind of the elephant in the room. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
I just know that the current layout can't be the answer. Because I told you prior to this podcast, I did.
Yeah.
I brought some receipts.
Yeah, I want you to share the receipts.
All right, so this is just Class 1A through Class 4A. This is not including 5, 6, and 7A, which are starting playoffs
right.
this week.
Right.
1 through 4A started playoffs last week.
Right.
All right, in baseball, there were 69 games that ended in a mercy rule. There were 11 games that didn't meet the criteria for a mercy rule ending, but it ended in a shutout. 69 mercy rule finishes in baseball. In softball, 94 games ended in mercy rule, 7 games that didn't meet the mercy rule criteria but ended in a shutout. I don't see how it's not fair I'll just go ahead and say it's not fair to the kids.
Yeah.
Because I watched a team get demoralized.
Yeah.
In the first round of the playoffs. Get beat 34-1.
Yeah.
And then get beat in game 2-20.
We thought it was a misprint.
Yeah, we thought it was a misprint. And actually, it was a news station sports guy up north that reported that score and on air said, I want to preface this by saying this is not a typo.
Yeah.
This is the actual score.
And keep it, this isn't including private school either. This isn't including MAIS.
This is just public schools right here.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing that, and I think this is where I already knew that even last year and the year prior, it's always been on my mind that the first round is always lopsided. And I want to say this, there were a couple of upsets.
Yeah.
Northeast Jones, who was the one seed, I believe, in 4A, they got beat. It went to extra innings, I think one or two of those games.
Game three
went to like 11 innings or something like that. There were some close games. I will concede that there were some close games. But 69 games ended in a mercy rule in baseball. 94 games ended in a mercy rule in softball. A lot of these did not go game three.
No.
There were a lot of these that did not go game three. Friday was... I do love baseball. I love softball. It's not my favorite sport. Basketball is my favorite. But Friday was awful.
Yeah.
I think the more I sat there, and I told somebody as I was leaving the softball field, I said, this is embarrassing, is the best way that I described it. Because here was my weekend, right? First of all, you had Stringer played Leland, and they beat them. And I'm trying to go through my tweets, actually. After one inning, they led 10-0. In three innings of play, they beat Leland 22-0. I went down to the softball field, where I came to the softball field, and there wasn't a single starter on Stringer softball team playing. There was, I think, a 7th grader or 8th grader pitching. And they were ahead 20-0, and that ended in two innings. Then they went back after my battery died on my camera, and I left because it was embarrassing. They Stringer defeated Shaw 20-0 again in two innings. So they beat them 40-0 in four innings. I got a text from up the hill on the other side of the campus, and Stringer had beat Leland 16-1 because they had a 7th grader pitching. He gave up a run. So between those four games and nine innings of play, a total of nine innings of play between the four games, there was a combined score of 78-1. And then I went to Bay Springs Saturday. Bay Springs lost 16-1 in three innings in game one the night before. And they lost 28-3 Saturday. They had 11 players. They had 11 players dressed, Bay Springs did. And again, I want to say this. I'm not picking on the players. I'm not picking on the coaching staff or any of this. But whenever I tell y'all that Lloyd Starr, who they were playing, could have put up 50, they could have put up 50.
Yeah.
They intentionally backed off the plate and forced an out to end the second inning, I think it was. It was awful.
Yeah.
And the coaches know it.
Yeah. So, let me say this, and this is, I'm not knocking any team in Smith County in any way, but I think you and I would agree there's probably only one team in Smith County that we think has a legitimate shot at maybe going to state.
Yeah.
I've got another team that I think has a legitimate shot to get to South State. Beyond that, I mean, anything can happen. We know how baseball, softball is. You can get hot at the right time. We saw that with Ole Miss several years ago in college baseball. Didn't have a great regular season, just got hot at the right time. So anything can happen.
Yeah.
But we only have one team, I think, that has a legitimate shot getting to a state championship in baseball.
Yeah.
And we have another team that has a shot, but it's a long shot. They could probably get to South State. So I'll preference that with saying of the six teams, baseball and softball in Smith County, only one will probably get to the state championship or has a really great shot at getting there. Of the 13 games in the first round in Smith County that I had, eight of them ended in a mercy rule.
Yeah.
Eight of the 13. Now, I know there are some regions. I was talking to the Mice coach the other day, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying this. He said that if they were in the region of the team that they were playing, you know, they would probably, they were second seed in their region. He said in that other region, they would probably be the third seed.
And we're talking about Puckett, right?
Right, yeah, Puckett's region.
Yeah.
He said in that region would probably be the three seed. So there are some regions that are competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some regions that are bad.
Well, look. And again, and we both have a team in this region, okay? And I use them just for this, right? We have Taylorsville, Stringer, and Lake County, all right? Stringer beat Lake County, if I remember right, across their series. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was 38-1, okay? Then Taylorsville beat Stringer by mercy rule twice. So there's such a gap. And Taylorsville whipped Lee County. There's no other way to put it. Yeah. So I don't think Stringer is a bad team. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But there's such a gap between those teams in this region. It's not a competitive region. I don't think anybody can say that. Because you had Taylorsville Mercy rule the second place team twice. You saw it one game, and I saw it another game. I think that, now to say this, I think that early on in the season, we both covered Mize and Stringer. And for the most part, I think that was a pretty good game. Mize yeah. controlled that game, and Stringer almost made a comeback.
Right.
Now, I think in a three-game series, I think that might be a competitive series. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I have to look at this unbiased, I don't know if Stringer makes it out of this weekend. They got to play Ethel. I'm looking like I might not have a team across baseball or softball out of this weekend. You know, in private school play, I don't want to leave them out. Silver Bay, if they strung some hits together, probably makes that a game. Last night, it ended up being 7-2. It was 4-0 up until, I think, the fourth inning. Silver Bay gets a couple of runs, and then Prairie View from Louisiana, which is a whole other rant while we're playing teams from Louisiana and Arkansas and all that. But they put a couple of more runs on the board. I don't know if Silver Bay has enough pitching to go three games with Prairie View, but that's still a seven. That's still a five-run gap. I don't know. I'm like you. I don't know what the answer is, but we can't keep having games like this. It doesn't do anything for anybody. It doesn't make any team any better. And I was talking to people during the baseball game at Stringer, and I'm not going to name any names of who I was talking to, but it was parents and stuff like that, you know, fans of Stringer. And one lady, she said, "I'm really just concerned that somebody just gets hurt." She said, "One kid's playing through injury right now. What happens if that injury turns into a season-ending injury in a 20-0 game that shouldn't be played?" Yeah, you know, that's the things that I look at.
What was crazy too is, the game that we mentioned that was game one was 34-1. Game two finished after two innings. I'll say two innings. There wasn't an out that was made in the bottom of the second before the game ended. So you had Taylorsville, which they're 2 years removed from
state back to back.
back-to-back state championships.
Yeah.
Okay. This year they're really young, so they've had a tough go in the regular season. I think coming in the playoffs only had two or three wins.
Right.
So you had a team that had two or three wins that made the playoffs. They beat a team 34-1
yeah.
and 20-0 after only winning two or three games in the regular season.
Yeah.
So I understand there's kind of a disparagingness about some regions where you have a lot of good teams, and then some regions you don't really have any good teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, because this was the second seed team out of this one region lost 34-1 and 20-0. The one seed in that region, I believe, lost in two games in Mercy Rule fashion too. So that region there is just bad. So I don't know the answer. I just know that when you have 69 games in round one that end in Mercy Rule in baseball, and 94 in softball that end in Mercy Rule, there's got to be a fix somewhere.
So I've been thinking about it, about what we could do, and honestly, I'm just going to say this too, I don't think it's just us that's talking about this.
No.
There's other sports writers and other people that when we go to the press box at state championship games,
yeah.
they talk about it.
Right.
You know, they talk about this. I think there's coaches that talk about this. Here's the solution that I have, I guess, if you want to call it a solution, is if you're just going to have, for instance, Taylorsville, Stringer, and Lake County, that's a region, we need to start combining regions and let the chips fall where they may. And I know that that involves more traveling. I understand that. And maybe, you know, in a perfect world, Stringer, Mize, Raleigh, and all of them would be in a region of their own, and it would be close. But I understand that we have 1A, 2A, 3A. I understand that. But maybe there's some way that you start combining these regions and you say we're taking the top three from these regions and the chips fall where they may. And, you know, unfortunately for, say, a Taylorsville softball that only won a couple games but they go into the playoffs and beat somebody 34-1, well, if they're in a region with six or seven teams and they're the fourth seed, I'm sorry, should have won more games. And I'll say this about any of my teams. I'm sorry, you should have won more games to get in there. Because I'm going down and I'm looking at the 5A, 6A, 7A games, and they play one less round. And these games look like they could probably be pretty competitive in the first round. I think because we both covered Jones County, we've seen some upsets happen. We've seen a West Jones, a one seed, has the bye, and their coach hated having the bye. And they got beat in the first round. I've seen some really good South Jones teams get beat opening round because, I mean, it's just more competitive. So,
and like I said in the very beginning, I know this is not an easy situation to fix because I think in each classification, you know, you got some classes that have more schools in it than others because there's really a big mm-hmm. gap in student attendance
right.
in some of these schools. But I remember several years ago covering soccer where Northeast Jones was having to travel 4 hours
mm-hmm.
to play a team that was in the South.
Yeah.
Okay. 4 hour drive to play a team that was in the South. And a lot of that too is because your classifications, your schools are kind of scattered. They're some small, some bigger to make sure you've got enough in the smaller classification. You know, there's going to be that travel time. But I just feel, like I said, I know it's going to be hard to fix, but there has to be a solution that doesn't involve 34-1 and 20-0 finishes, which was common.
Yeah.
This is not like those Mercy Rule. There were a lot of them that were just a 10-run difference. These were scores that were 20-run differences.
Yeah.
And obviously some of those games probably ended in the third inning, and you still got 20 runs on the board. So, like I said, I don't know the fix, but there has to be one. There has to be something that makes more sense.
Well, and I don't even think, and we're talking because it's baseball and softball season, I didn't see it as much in basketball. But even in football, and I think I see it more because it's we're covered. Our largest school is 2A, and your largest school is 3A, right?
Or 2A now.
Yeah, Raleigh moved back. Yeah,
Raleigh moved because of the 7 classifications.
So, for instance, and I feel so bad because I feel like I'm picking on Stringer, but I'm not. Stringer made the playoffs this year in football. They had to travel to Simmons, and they didn't want to go. The kids didn't want to go. I know some kids that were more excited because they were going to eat at a seafood buffet. I know that.
Yeah.
Like, they were more excited to go out to eat than they were to play the game. And it's because they knew there was such a disparity. They were traveling to Simmons. That is a long way from Stringer. That is a multi-hour trip to go get beat 50-0. To go have a running clock by the end of the first quarter. So it's not just softball and baseball. I just think that we shorten up the rounds and we put the teams in there. We put some teams that maybe they're 6 or 7 or 8, I don't know, in a region, and we say, okay, here you go. You're going to have an 8-game region district play. You play 3 non-district games, and you go in it, and you get ready. And I know there's point differentials and all that, and you'd have the same thing in baseball and softball. But I would much rather that than a 2 or 3-win team get in and get beat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously nobody from Leland is going to be listening to this, but I really felt bad for those girls. I mean, you could see it on their faces. They're down 15-0, and run score, and you could just see the look on their faces. It's just like, it's of embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt bad for them.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to join the teams and shaking hands and just going across to Leland and say, you know, just give them words of encouragement or something, but it just looks so defeated because here you are in the playoffs and you're getting drummed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not fair to them either.
Well, it's the same way as Shaw. Literally, I heard this from the Shaw catcher. I can't throw to second. Like, she could not make the throw to second. So she didn't even try because she knew it. And I'm not making fun of her. I'm just saying she couldn't do it. She couldn't do it, and why are you in a playoff game? I'm not making fun of the kids. I'm not making fun of the program, but somebody from the MHSAA has to see this and say this is no good for anybody. It's no good for, you know, and I'm going to say this because they posted it on Twitter. They replied to me on Twitter, and I feel like that she's opinionated enough, she really wouldn't care. But I'm trying to go down and I'm trying to find it. It was basically Miss Carrie Padgett. She replied to my rant, and she basically said this a money thing. She said that it's all about money. And this is it right here. I just found it. She said, it's about money. Money for one particular organization. And every decision made only benefits them and only makes sense, maybe, to the top tier schools. And I agree with some of that. I do. I think that money has deteriorated the MAIS across the board. I think that it's made it not as competitive. We've talked about it with people before who've been in the newspaper business that a lot longer than us, and has seen the deterioration of the MAIS. and they think this is a money scheme. I think the MHSAA, I think it is a little bit about money for them. I think that's why we have a 7A class now. I'm just going to say it.
Well, I mean, okay. Rose-colored glasses off. All right, I'm going to give – I don't know the money situation at the
MHSAA
yeah.
Or MAIS?
Any of them.
Okay.
Okay. I understand. I think you and I are in a business where we understand money has to be made.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know what it costs to do all of this, you know, from schools have to pay umpires, you know, you gotta have money to do stuff.
Yeah.
I get that. You're trying to make money. But that's kind of been, you know, and I'm not going to throw any coaches under the bus and name any of them, but I don't think I've ever met a coach who doesn't believe that any decision made is based on, they understand everything's based on money.
Yeah.
So I understand these associations, they have to make money because people have to be paid, things have to be paid for. I get that. But you also have to keep in mind the other scenarios, the other things that you have to keep in mind when you make these decisions. You know, it can't just be a money issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because let's just say that the Taylorsville-Leland game, I don't think anybody came from Leland to watch that game.
Right.
So what money is being made?
Right.
And even Taylorsville, Taylorsville had some fans there, but it wasn't like I've seen it in the past. You know, some of these first round games, the attendance is not. Now Mize and Puckett, that series, especially the game that I went to, that was at Mize, it was a big crowd.
It also helps us right down the road too.
It helps us right down the road, but there was a big crowd. There was a big crowd because people knew that this would be a good series to watch.
Right.
So people came.
Yeah.
When you have a series that people know what before the games are even played, we know what the outcome's going to be.
Right.
People don't show up.
Right.
So what money are you making?
Well, it's like this. I'll use this example, right? When Raleigh and Bay Springs played football, it was wrapped up all the way around Bay Springs. And whenever they played in Raleigh, it was the same way. But you go to a Bay Springs first-round playoff game, and I'll quote him, okay? Dan Brady was disappointed with the attendance for the first-round playoff game, and there was considerably less fans there. And you know why? Because they had a running clock in the second quarter. That's why.
Yeah.
And fans know that. And mama and daddy, and for like, daddy ain't going to go to work at 6 a.m., get off at 5 a.m., or 5 p.m., get dressed, and then stay out till 9 o'clock that night in 35 degree weather to watch somebody get beat 50 to nothing.
Right.
You know, parents of the team, maybe, but somebody who's just likes football, high school football, they're not going to go watch that. And that's a playoff game. There's stakes, right? So there was people at the Stringer game. There was because it was senior night. I think that Stringer was smart to put their senior night in this first round playoff game.
Yeah.
Because they knew that could bring out people. And I'm not saying that those people wouldn't come, but it's senior night.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There wasn't that many people at the Bay Springs series. There was mainly parents and stuff like that. There were people from Lloyd Starr that were parents. So they probably made a little bit of gate money. I'd say enough probably to pay the umpires. They probably made a little bit of concessions, but was it worth having a first round game?
Right.
28-3. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Bay Springs softball, that was a competitive series. Unfortunately, wasn't able to cover it. I was out of town Monday night. Saw the scores. Both of those were kind of competitive. Do I think that it made some money? Maybe a little bit. But at the same time, it was a far drive for both teams. So I don't know how many people were there. turning over to MAIS. There was a fair amount of people at that game. Silva Bay supports their kids really well, no matter what. So they made some money. But at the end of the day, I think that there's a lot of places that we see that they don't make money because nobody's showing up. And that's where I have the biggest problem is if we can not have a first round, and I get, you know, we talked about teams and regions and how it works. I get that if we cannot have a extra round in 5A, 6A, and 7A, why can't we just skip that round in 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. And maybe there's somebody at the MHSAA that can explain it, and there'd be some rationale in there. But it would take a lot to convince me otherwise.
I do know, and to their defense, I do know that you know, some of these lower classifications have way more schools that fit the criteria of being in that classification than you would like 7A.
Yeah.
7A, there's not that many schools. I'm assuming that's why you have less rounds in 5 through 6A because there's less schools in those classifications.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think maybe the answer in our limited knowledge of the whole situation, maybe the answer is in 1A through 4A is that you just have less teams that make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm for that. I'm for having less teams making the playoffs, and maybe you take in just the one seed. If you have three teams, you take in just the one seed out of that. And maybe if you have one that's six teams, maybe you take the top two seeds out of that. And I know it's a trade-off because at the end of the day, this team that maybe has six teams in their region, they're having to fight more than the team that has three teams in, because right. The team that has three teams in their region can say it's okay as long as we finish second, we're in. Whereas the team that has six teams, they're having to fight more. I don't know. After seeing what I did this weekend, it just really aggravated me. Not at the players, not at the teams or coaches or anything. It just aggravated me of how bad this first round was.
Yeah.
So.
And that's, like, I think we mentioned this. This has kind of been a situation that we've seen for many years.
Yeah.
So it's not this new classification has just made it.
Right.
Maybe it has compounded it and made it a little bit worse, because we've really noticed it this year.
Yeah.
And even in some years past. But
do you think that it ultimately really starts hurting small school ball, where you don't have kids that even want to play anymore? They get on this grind. For instance, Bay Springs had 11 kids on the team, and then there's Shaw, who I think they just barely had enough kids to play. Does it get to the point to where they're like, I just don't want to play, and it starts killing
them? I mean, I do know that's the situation with some schools that generally are not that great in a certain sport. You just don't have very many kids that want to come out, because who wants to play in a sport 20 games in a season? I'm just throwing out a number.
Yeah.
Just say 20. There's some teams that don't even play but 8 games in a season.
Yeah.
Okay, leave them.
Yeah.
You're not going to have kids that are going to come out and want to play for 20 games and just get skull drug.
Yeah.
You know, so there has to be a solution to where, you know, I don't know.
I feel like one thing that I think is a issue that the MHSAA needs to think about is the fact that the school gets fined if they don't participate in the playoffs or if they don't have the sport. I think they really need to think about that. Because what's the point of having a sport that you have been for, say, a decade? Say we take a decade's worth of record, right? And there's an obvious lack of participation. There's an obvious lack of the school even trying to hire a good coach, and I want to have a coach there, male or female, whatever, you know, whatever sport it is. And then you as the MHSA say, we're gonna fine you for that.
Yeah.
It's to me, if whatever school, Heidelberg, tomorrow decides we're not gonna play basketball anymore and we're gonna put our resources into football, that's their choice.
Yeah.
I kind of think that it might be their choice.
Yeah.
Because they see a trend of this ain't, we're not getting enough participation, it's not doing anything to help our school. You know, I think there's some schools that don't run track, right?
Yeah.
Some schools don't have archery. Northeast Jones loves archery. Stringer don't have archery. There's some schools that don't have golf. So if some school doesn't want to have softball, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you start getting a demand, the school starts getting a demand for softball.
Well, I mean, we both know there are some schools that don't even have a football team.
Yeah.
They're in public school.
Yeah.
They're a basketball school.
Yeah.
Like, there's some teams up north that don't have a football team. It's just, I mean.
Yeah.
Just don't have the.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that could be a solution. You know, I just know that in volleyball, I watched a game this past year that lasted a total, I think it was 28 minutes, and that was Stringer, and I want to say it was Lake County. The girls literally ran from the ball. Hannah Grace Buckley spiked the ball, and they literally ran away from it. It was awful, and they played at 11 o'clock in the morning. Nobody wanted to be there. There was hardly anybody, Stringer or Lake County fans, there. And it was miserable environment. It was a miserable environment.
Yeah.
Why are they forced to have a team?
Yeah.
You know, why are they forced to participate in that? Because they'll get fined. And I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to what Kerry said, that maybe there's a money deal there. I'm not sure. But either way, I think round two will be a little bit better for all of us.
Yeah.
I think we've been super negative. We've been harping on this for 20-something minutes. Round two, just give me your thoughts on your teams in Smith County.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So we got they'll start Friday.
Yeah.
This time. There were some games that were last week that started on Thursday.
Who are you most excited to see, put it that way? What do you think is going to be a competitive matchup?
I think Taylorsville, Nanawaya baseball, that'll be a competitive matchup. I think Mize.
Yeah.
Mize and their
they're sneaky, man.
They are.
They're super.
They're very young too, and they were really young last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team that I think give it maybe another year.
Yeah.
With all the kids, let's just say last year, there were 23 or 24 players on the roster, Mize baseball. 13 or 14 of those 23, 24 were in junior high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they managed to have a 20 win season.
Yeah.
More than 20 games, but really great season. Now, some of that was making sure that they didn't play teams. You know, they're 2A and make sure they didn't play 5A teams, stuff like that. So they scheduled some games that were really competitive, and then some where it was a real challenge. So they did get to play some games that you know, obviously they get 10-run rule, but playing good teams, so that helps you out.
Yeah.
You get to see some good pitching. You get to see – but I think give it another year. I think Mize is going to be a force to be reckoned with in baseball. Got a great coach, got great assistant coaches there. I think in the next couple of years they're going to be really good.
I think that program is on the upswing. I see that program as a whole on like an upswing. Football, you know, they come back and beat Heidelberg during that football season last year. Just had a kid absolutely go crazy. And used to, that was not what you would normally see with Mize football. But, you know, in baseball, I think it was Ty Keyes' senior year. They gave Taylorsville baseball all they could handle, and they were, you know, they were pretty good then. So I just think Mize is on the upswing there. And yeah, whenever I saw them, I didn't take their hat because they beat us. They beat my team. But yeah, I really like their head coach and assistants.
So as far as competitive, I think all of them are going to be competitive. All the games that I have in the second round, I think Taylorsville baseball has a real good chance. They have some solid pitchers. They're young too. Okay.
Yeah.
They have some solid pitchers. Noah Westbrook.
Yeah.
Got some really good potential. I think he's a sophomore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got quite a few years to go for him. But they're really good. They can hit the ball at times. They defensively, from what I've seen, they're pretty good. So I think they'll go far in the playoffs. You know, like I said, but anything can happen. We know how playoffs work. When you get to the second, third, fourth round, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, but I'm excited to see them. Mize obviously has a good chance to, I think, to get to South State if they, you know, if enough things go their way. I don't think everything has to go their way for them to get that far, but I think if they get enough things to go their way, I think they'll have a good chance. Raleigh softball, they play Clarkdale. Clarkdale is going to be pretty good. It's going to be a pretty good challenge for them. I don't know if they can make it past. I think if they have enough things go right, I think they can.
Yeah.
Talk to their coach, and he's very optimistic that, you know, he feels like they're playing more together at this point in the season.
Yeah.
So good things could happen for them. So who knows how that's going to go. My softball is kind of, they have some good years, they have some average years. I'm honestly looking forward to all the second round games. I wish I could get to all of them. I think me and you kind of ran down earlier this morning of who I was playing this week and what the game times were, what games we could get to. You know, I think on Saturday I'm going to try to get to three different games.
Yeah.
And obviously there's going to be a team that gets left out, and it's not, like I said, I wish I could get to every one of them, but I'm only one person. Wish I could get to all the games. But, well,
yeah, that's one thing I've said before in the podcast and things like that. And even I've literally not written a baseball story this year. I just realized, not like a full with quotes and everything. Just because, one, every game I've been to has been a blowout. Literally, every game has either been a blowout or a run rule. And I can get the stats that I need because luckily we have Game Changer. And most of our schools use Game Changer. So I'm able to get stats on what I need. So I'm hoping Stringer and Ethel play Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Saturday I'll be at the game too with Stringer. Kind of like you. Where you talked about they need things to go their way. I think Stringer needs a lot to go their way. Game one, if they can get out of game one without having to use much pitching, I think that's the key for Stringer. If they go into game one and they have to use a lot of pitching, I think it's GG for them. Stringer softball, I think they should get out of the second round. Anytime you have Madeline Graham, J.C. Holifield, Hannah Grace Buckley, those girls on your team, you're going to have a chance. I feel like they have a chance to go to state. It just kind of depends. But I think, you know, I covered them against Mize. Mize put up a good fight against Stringer, and then they pull away late. But then I turn around and cover them versus Purvis. Purvis is a good team. They're 4A team. They got run ruled. They could not find a hit to save their lives. So then I cover them against Shaw, and then there's just nothing to gain from that. So it'd be interesting. I think they get out of the second round. But, you know, otherwise, Silva Bay, they play a doubleheader Friday against Prairie View. They have to go to Louisiana. If they win game two, they force a game three. And it's the same way that I feel about Stringer. I don't know if Silva Bay has enough pitching to go three with Prairie View. That said, I don't know how much pitching Prairie View has, but they are a 20-plus win team. And I feel like that, you know, they were super aggressive against Lane Miller, and coach pulled him after 33 pitches, I think. So he can be used again. But I just don't know if they can beat Prairie View.
As it stands now, according to the schedules, for 2A baseball, you have game one, Mize at Clarkdale at 7 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday, it'll be Clarkdale at Mize at 6 p.m. And then game three, if necessary, you'll have Mize at Clarkdale at 7 p.m. on Monday. In 1A, you'll have, baseball-wise, obviously you have Stringer at Ethel, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. on Friday for game one. Then you have Nanawaya at Taylorsville at 6:30 on Friday for game one. Game two, you have Taylorsville at Nanawaya at 1 p.m. You have Ethel at Stringer at 7 p.m. And then for game three, if necessary, you will have Stringer at Ethel at 7 p.m. on Monday. And then you also have Nanawaya at Taylorsville at 6:30 on Monday for game three, if necessary. Softball-wise, let's see if I can pull it up here. And another rant is there's not a Max Preps or Scorebook.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
You can't find the games on there. Sometimes, I mean, I like I said, it's a rant for another day, but it is what it is. Let me try to find the softball schedule here, because obviously it's not correct on Max Preps.
I'm on plug them. I have to go to Capital Sports with Chris Brooks and Brandon. I have to give them credit. Both Chris and Brandon do a good job. I think better than Scorebook Live and Max Preps too with schedules. Yeah,
they do a great job. And obviously, that's where I'm reading from now, because Max Preps doesn't have some of these games on there. Scorebook Live don't have all the games on there either. Like I said, that's a rant for another day of not having an app or whatever that gives you exactly what you need. All right, so softball. You got on Friday, game one, Raleigh at Clarkdale, 7 p.m. You have Lake at Mize, game one, 6:30 p.m. on Friday. Let's see. Game two on Saturday, you have Clarkdale at Raleigh at 2 p.m. This is softball, of course. Then you have Mize at Lake at 2 p.m. on Saturday for game two. And then game three, if necessary, you have Raleigh at Clarkdale, 7 p.m. on Monday. You have Lake at Mize at 6:30 p.m. And then in 1A, game one on Friday is Nanawaya at Stringer at 6:30 p.m. Taylorsville at Salem at 6 p.m. Game twos on Saturday, you have Stringer at Nanawaya at 2 p.m. You have Salem at Taylorsville at 11 a.m.
11 a.m. game.
Yeah. I remember playing in 11 a.m. games when I was at Stringer. That's hard to do. So game threes, if necessary, these will be on Monday. You have Nanawaya at Stringer at 6:30 p.m. and then Taylorsville at Salem at 6 p.m. And that rounds out Jasper and Smith counties, the schedules for round two.
Yeah.
Or Friday, Saturday, and Monday if necessary.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you might have some Monday games. I kind of feel like Stringer beats Nantawea in two. And then, unfortunately, I think that Ethel beats Stringer in two. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I think that's where it's at. And then, of course, you got 5A, 6A, and 7A. I hope if we end up where our teams get eliminated, I might pop over in Jones County and shoot a couple of games there if West Jones or Northeast Jones softball, West Jones baseball or South Jones baseball, if they can get out of round one. In 5A, 6A, and 7A ball, I've been trying to keep up a little bit. And I legitimately think that West Jones has a shot to make it to state. Yeah. I think South Jones does. This is that class from a couple of years ago that mm-hmm. Coach Rogers, whenever he was there, he said this is the class. And those kids, Cole Richardson and Dylan Causey, are seniors. They got a couple more South that are seniors. And, of course, you got Mason Strickland leading the program now. If South Jones is going to make it to state, this is the year. Then Northeast Jones softball, they're good. They're a really good team. I think you've got South Jones softball. If I'm not mistaken, they play Van Cleve this weekend. That's who put them out last year. So just a quick little thing in there.
Between Jasper, Jones, and Smith County, we're going to have somebody, I'm pretty sure to say, we're going to have somebody make the state championships.
So. Yeah. Could it be the final year at Trustmark? You think this is it?
I don't know. I don't know how that's going
to... Yeah, I don't know how... I don't know if they're going to be able to keep them.
I don't know how... I don't know what the plans are in Pearl for the ballpark after Mississippi Braves leave. I think it would be a great opportunity if they did leave it as Fields to continue to play state championship games, maybe some JUCO games there.
Yeah,
just something to kind of keep that ballpark.
Well, you got the Governor's Cup, you know, yeah. State and Ole Miss, yeah. And State and Southern, stuff like that. I think that there's a need to, and I think it would be cool. I don't know if you remember back during the COVID year, mm-hmm. Before everything got shut down, they were going. Some high school teams were going to MGM on the mm-hmm. coast. So if they could keep that active, you could host tournaments up there in Pearl. That would be really cool. I'm gonna miss Trustmark. As far as the Mississippi Braves being there, I hope that the stadium doesn't deteriorate. Obviously, I love going to the state championships because I can go across the road to Bass Pro and the Adidas store.
Yeah, you and I both. Anytime we go to Pearl for any kind of state championships or even Jackson, we try to make a trip to Bass Pro to go out and buy some fishing lures, yeah. Or hunting stuff or yeah. Whatever we might.
I always walk out of there with a reel, it seems like. That's what it always seems like. But yeah, I hope they keep it there, and you know, I think it's just a really cool experience for the kids. I actually had one kid at my church. He said, "Why don't we get to go to Duty Noble or anywhere like that?" You know, football, even volleyball. The volleyball takes place at Mississippi State,
yeah.
So you know, maybe they take them up there. But I don't know. I just think Pearl is a really cool place, and it's yeah. Central to everybody.
Right.
So, anyways, we wrap this up. Any final thoughts on your end?
No, not really. Just excited about round two because, like I said, it's going to be a whole lot more competitive than round one.
I hope so. I hope so.
I think it will, obviously. But yeah, just looking forward to some more softball and baseball, and hopefully, you know, we have some teams that go all the way, at least get to the state championship series, and be exciting.
Yep. All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to say make sure to subscribe to the Jasper County News and the Smith County Reformer. Rate start as low as $30 per year for a subscription. Make sure you get you a subscription to both papers. You can find out what's going on in the county. If you aren't down at Circle L Farms, is what I was told this week, that's the first breaking news story. Then we get it second, according to some people in Jasper County. But now, if you want news, photos, all that stuff, make sure you subscribe to the newspapers. Obviously, there you can find links to this podcast at the top of the Jasper County News Facebook page. If you want to listen to it on YouTube or Spotify or wherever you want to. make sure you go and subscribe and follow and all that there. We will see you guys.